Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Welcome to Blindsight. This is your host, Bill Lundgren. I'm delighted to have you here. We'll be continuing the series we've been doing on the 12 steps as they're presented by AA, and talking about them in terms of lifestyle, in terms of those who are in recovery, and all kinds of fun things. And last week, I introduced you to Joe, who talked about step 10. So now we're going to go into step 11. How are you, Joe?
I'm well today, Bill.
Good. Great. So, Joe, can you kind of tell people what step 11 is?
Step 11, reading from the big book, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out.
That's really profound.
Yes, it's really the key to the entire 12 step, if one thinks about it. Back on step number 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We've been leaning on this concept that we are praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Most of the house cleaning steps in between, you know, the fourth step, the eighth step, and the ongoing 10th step are house cleaning chores to be sure that we don't have any behaviors in our inventory that might make it difficult for us to actually seek God's will.
Did you come into the program with a sense of a God and who that God is and so forth, or did that come out of going through the steps?
I personally came into the 12 step with a sense of God. I had an upbringing in a faith tradition, and actually had been fortunate to maintain that. So I had a bit of a head start with the concept of God. Although many people in successful recovery did not enter the program with a concept of God. Many people in the initial stages of recovery find the concept of God to be very challenging and often thwarts them from even coming into the second step.
You got it. I've had a lot of LGBT people that I've worked with, and so many of them were abused by the religious, and we're talking religious, not the spiritual, religious system, that as soon as I mention AA, oh, they talk about God. Yeah, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's one of the first things I have to do, is to teach him that as we understood, now this is a little gender-oriented, we call it God, him. And I know some of the women I've worked with have decided to call her, to say her, as we understood her, which is fine. A friend of mine who is also a counselor said, you know, it doesn't matter whether that higher power is your refrigerator. The question is to know that there's a higher power than your own, I'd use the Yiddish term, Mishigoth, is what directing you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. In fact, what you said initially about people coming into the program not only without a sense of God, but with an antagonistic view of the concept of God is very common. I think it's very common in our population in general. People have been abused by various confusing definitions of what God is and how to practice a spiritual life. There is a great deal of abuse in the way that people are taught what God might be and how to practice an appropriate religion. And I think particularly with LGBTQ, there are faith traditions, old ones, that are interpreted as being homophobic, right, or misinterpreted as being homophobic more commonly. And so when people find themselves excluded from God by their very being, it's no surprise that they reject the whole idea. That unfortunately, that obstacle makes recovery extraordinarily challenging.
Yep.
Although fortunately, many people have surmounted that obstacle and developed in many ways an even richer spiritual life because of that stumbling block, because they've had to actually rethink what their higher power is. They can't just accept a definition that was given to them in childhood. They've had to actually rethink what that means to them as an individual. The beauty of the 12 step is it deliberately does not endorse a particular view of God. In fact, the word higher power is more commonly used because the word God has been co-opted by so many forces that have abused the term that the term means many things to many people. Higher power has not been so linguistically abused, and I think many people can accept the idea of something unnameable or bigger. The word God is difficult for many.
Well, it's interesting that I just learned when I was doing some research. You know, I've been around the program for ages, but I just learned that Bill W. was agnostic.
Actually, my understanding of the story of the origins of AA was that Bill W. had actually gone to see Carl Jung when he, in his search for a cure to his alcoholism, and Jung is the one who introduced the idea to Bill W. that short of a spiritual conversion, I see no hope for you to defeat your alcoholism. And Bill W. actually went to a Benedictine monastery, and the 12 step is actually ultimately fashioned after the Benedictine way, an ancient monastic tradition, which informs a lot of what became the 12 step.
Interesting. So the thing is, then, what we're saying is that people should be, shall we say, a little more open-minded and know that the being in the program doesn't mean that we're taking some ritualistic view towards God, but we're saying God as we understand God, and that we can be not flexible so much as be open to something outside of ourselves that will help us in making good decisions, is the best way I put it. There have been times when all of a sudden you have something, I need to do this. And you can say that, that's God speaking, or you can say that's my higher power telling me what I need to do.
Yeah, I think that's true, that the ultimately being open to the higher power is essential for recovery.
Yeah.
And yet the higher power, as we're talking about it, is such a nebulous concept that I think that can also be confusing for people in recovery, because they go, if there is no definable God, then what do I do? I have no religious training, or I have abusive religious training, or I want to develop my own. Wherever you are at, And so I was going to comment on some suggestions that are in the big book.
Good.
To address that. The one that I think is very important is, upon awakening, we ask God to direct our thinking. In other words, when we first wake up, I think it's natural many of us will immediately go into a problem that we were dealing with the night before, right. Or an ambition for the day, perhaps a work issue, something we want to do, a recreational activity. It could be fun, it could be difficult, but our mind is immediately wrapped around our own agenda,
right,
for the day. And the suggestion is that we pause and ask our higher power to direct our thinking. Personally, I've actually never received a phone call from God. I've never had a phone call telling me, okay, Joe, here's what I want you to do. But I'm essentially asking for God's telephone call somehow. I'm asking for some direction from God, which doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately or I'm going to feel this immediate revelation. It just puts my mind in a state of openness to maybe there is more than my own thoughts have
for will.
Have put my own will. Yes. This is about freedom from will. Absolutely. The whole gist of what I'm going to say that's in the big book, and frankly, the gist of what's in the 12 by 12, there's some suggestions in there too, but ultimately they're all distilled down into, we ask to do God's will and to be relieved of our own will.
Mm-hmm.
So we awaken and ask God to direct our thinking, specifically to detach us from self-pity, to detach us from dishonesty, and to give us freedom from self-will. We are careful never to pray for selfish ends. The way we pray in recovery, and this is according to the big book, is never, we're careful never to pray for selfish ends. I want this outcome at work. I want this outcome in the news. I want this particular outcome. We pray to do God's will. We accept, when we say this, ultimately, that we no longer run the show. That's a direct quote from the big book. We no longer run the show.
And that's a good comment, because so much of the trouble that we can get into, whether it's addiction or any of the addictions, or in terms of our relationship with people, is when we start exerting our will.
Exactly. Our will is really the problem that got most of us into this addiction to begin
with.
Bill,
can you get a little closer
to the
mic when
you talk? Our own determination that somehow we would solve the problems by use of our own will and volition. When we awaken and ask God to direct our thinking, we say we are willing that thy will be done, God's will be done, and we ask for freedom from our own self-will. We are also asked to relax and take it easy. Classic AA little speech, take it easy.
Oh, there's a novel idea.
Yeah, we're wound up. I woke up this morning. What do I do about this particular political issue now?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And take it easy as part of that early morning prayer kind of sets the stage for how my day really needs to go. If I'm not taking it easy, I'm probably really bound up in self-will and desperately trying to accomplish the task I think I need to accomplish. And God's will is easy. Relax. Take it easy.
You mean God doesn't want us to conquer the world for God?
Well, honestly, maybe. We don't know.
Yeah.
I personally think that, you know, this is a really tough question, Bill. I was brought up ambitious and goal-oriented. I was taught those are good things. I was brought up reasonably affluent with the resources to do pretty much what I was told, to do what you want, dream big, have a goal, be ambitious.
Right.
And you can have the things you want. I remember hearing, you can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want. And so how do we, when we aren't completely powerless, how do we exert what personal power we do have is a daily volume knob that needs to be adjusted. I don't think we're being told not to work.
Right.
You know, I think we're being told we do our work, but we're doing it in a spirit of acceptance of God's will.
Ah, okay. So if we keep trying to push the river upstream, that's due for trouble, because that isn't what God wants. But if we pay attention to what is it that God wants rather than what I want, then we're in safer grounds.
I think so, and yet it's very difficult to know what God wants.
Yeah,
I mean, does God want war? Does God want political extremism? I find that difficult to accept. But
right.
But if one looks at the book of Job, who was, everything was taken from him, and basically everybody tried to explain to him what he was doing wrong to bring all these things upon his head. And at the end, he essentially says to God, why? Why did you do all of this to me? Why did you take away my wife, my family, my health, my money? Why did you do that? And God basically says, none of your business. You know, were you there when I created the world? No. It's not your business. And so people always run into this obstacle. It's even mentioned in the big book that
Sure. If
there was a benevolent God, why are things so bad? Why do we suffer? Why does evil exist?
Yeah.
And I think from a 12-step perspective, it's none of my business. I don't understand the problem of evil. I don't feel that anybody does. And if I were to sound during this podcast like I understand it all, that's a complete misrepresentation. I don't know, but I don't think anybody does. And I think the key is we need to seek God's will. There's actually...
To trust.
Let's look at a really good prayer. That's a direct quote from the 12x12.
When you say 12 by 12, you mean the 12 steps and 12 traditions.
Correct. The book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, a companion volume to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Which is in Braille and also in Talking Book. So it's easy to get those two books for those of us who are blind to get copies of that. Sorry, I had to put a commercial in.
That's great. Yeah, it says, let's look at a really good prayer, I quote. And it's basically what we call commonly the prayer of St. Francis, although we don't really know who wrote it. It probably wasn't St. Francis, and although he may have influenced, there's influence. But I'll go through it very briefly here. It's, Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is offense, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, let me sow joy. Let me not seek to be consoled as to console, not so much to be understood as to understand, not to be loved as to love. For it is in giving one receives, in self-forgetting one finds forgiveness, and in dying one awakens. So this prayer is all about getting out of ourself, which really is kind of what we've been saying. We're praying for God's will, which, as we've discussed, can be very difficult to discern.
Right.
But we know that our own self-will is not the end of everything.
Right.
We need to pay attention to helping others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people ask, well, what's wrong with self-will? I need to take care of myself. Well, yes, but in the context of helping others is how we really find relief from anxiety, how we really find forgiveness, how we awaken is in helping others. And this is very much a part of the 12-step tradition. Mm-hmm. So the God concept, you know, we've talked about how it's one that can be difficult for people to accept. Mm-hmm. But a way around that is to say, well, but there's a lot of ways to look at God. And AA does not endorse, very deliberately does not endorse a specific God.
Mm-hmm.
But it does endorse very, very definitely the idea of unselfishness, helping others, reaching out to others, and accepting God's will.
And I think that with helping others, we do have to pay attention to taking care of ourselves, but they aren't exclusive.
Yes.
And that when we get into doing only taking care of ourselves, which there seems to be a lot of right now, unfortunately, but if we're taking care of ourselves and taking care of other people, giving them the same kind of care as we are giving ourselves, then that really is more the formula that, you know, a higher power is trying to generate.
Yes. And Bill, you know better than I'm sure you've seen this phenomenon of codependency,
mm-hmm.
where people will use the excuse that they love others more than themselves,
right.
and develop patterns of codependency, and people will often say they're following God's will. And I mean, that's the Crusades, that's the Islamic Republic, that's the, mm-hmm. the Christian nationalist movement. Those are all extremist movements that state that they're doing God's will, but it's very clearly self-will that mm-hmm. they're indulging.
Yeah.
And so it's not an easy answer to know what is God's will.
Right.
And it's not even an easy answer to know how do I love others. But what we're saying here is you don't have to figure all that out today. In fact, right now, all the 12-step would say is just pause, do a quick moral inventory like we did last week to make sure you don't have to, if you owe somebody an apology, you need to make it like now. And if you feel fairly clean, then just ask for God to make his will understandable to you. And that's all that this is stating. But there are multiple testimonies and examples of people in recovery who have experienced the power of just doing that simple trick.
Right.
Just, you're not manipulating God. A trick sounds like you're manipulating God. It just means you're manipulating yourself into maybe being open to a world bigger than you think. Maybe the world is actually bigger, and maybe it is more benevolent than you actually think it is.
Mm. Well, I remember when I first started my practice, and I was getting into my own codependency before it was given a name, and I very wisely made a decision to go to Al-Anon.
Yes.
And get the 12 steps, and help me to make that distinction of self-care and not getting caught up into other people's will.
Yes.
And that was a very valuable lesson for me as a therapist, as well as a person, to say, okay, these are where the lines are and so forth. And I think that that's where the confusion comes in terms of helping others. Say, yes, help others, but do draw a line where helping others is not hurting you.
Absolutely. That's key. I mean, people could get engaged in all kinds of addictive behaviors, mm-hmm. and one of the addictions is the addiction of codependency.
Yep.
I think, but the key is just keep it simple, take it easy,
mm-hmm.
relax, ask for God's will. That's not a burden. If it's a horrible burden, my guess is it's probably not really God's will.
Yeah.
And this is why we have groups and why we have sponsors, because we get caught up in our own little mind and we can rattle around, especially with God. If somebody's been abused with the concept of God and they try to do this all solo, they're going to rattle around their own little head. Mm-hmm. And it can be very imprisoning. And I think if you feel relaxed, if you feel, my sponsor once said it in an analogy I've never forgotten, that when you're sober, it's like you're this freight train, that an old fashioned train that has a candle on the very front of the train for a light. And so if the train is going too fast, if it's rocking back and forth, the candle will extinguish.
Oh.
And he said, you just think of yourself as this big old train, and you have this delicate little candle, and it's burning bright and leads your way. And you're just going fast enough to feel the joy of movement because you're alive, but you're not going fast enough to blow out that candle. You're going nice and steady. And if things feel like you're getting into the pits with trying to decide what to do, you're probably not on that God track.
That's a good analogy, because and it applies to anything that we're trying to do, to just be very careful, because some people burn themselves out by going, and that candle burn themselves out by going too fast, too soon,
yes.
and not taking care of themselves and maybe hurting some other people. So all of that is part and parcel of being reasonable with ourselves, to be helpful to ourselves so that we, that we're going in the right direction, but not in a dangerous, harmful way.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, the 11th step is one of my favorite steps, because it does raise the possibility that the universe is not hostile.
Mm.
I've heard it said by one of my favorite religious writers, Richard Rohr, that people who are agnostic, people who are atheists, who are very deliberately exclude God from their lives, often evolve into a sense of that the universe is hostile. It would be very difficult not to, if yeah. one had no sense of any power greater than to what our limited five senses are seeing. You would see death and disease and famine, and we're just grains of sand, dust in the wind, as it were. It'd be very difficult not to feel the universe was a hostile place.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are agnostic often evolve into that same state of despair, or that same sense that the universe is ultimately a hostile place, that God is either too small or powerless or non-existent. And so how do we cope with the fact, that we die? And it really requires some sense of a benevolent higher power.
Interesting.
To give us hope that the world is not, that the universe is not ultimately hostile. And speaking in recovery from my own experience in recovery, this is all true. There are little drops of God that I can see sometimes, sometimes not, but I think anybody in recovery has had moments when they are aware that there is something greater than themselves. It's a testimony, a testament, a proclamation, however you want to say it, but I think everybody in recovery would attest that there are moments when we know that there is a benevolent higher power. Mm.
And I think those who are not in the program, but are in a sense working the steps as we're talking about that, I know for myself, we get those moments if we allow it to happen. And that's the key, as you say, to wake up and say, okay, what is God not going to give me an email or a text message, but there's something that I'm open to be able to understand what it is that God wants me to do.
Exactly. We have to look for God to see God. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to notice the presence of God.
Good. We've come to the end of really a wonderful discussion of the 11th step, and we will be next week, we will have someone talking about the 12th, but I'm very grateful to you, Joe, and I'm wondering, is there an additional last word you want to give our audience?
Keep coming back. It works. The words that we use at the ends of meetings, you know, everybody who is suffering from addiction, I just want to leave that the program works.
It certainly does. It's worked for a great many people, which says a lot, you know, in terms of its value. Thank you, Joe, for being here. This is Bill Lundgren, your host. I want to remind people who are interested in giving us feedback that there are two ways they can do it. They can do it with an email to feedback@aftersight.org. And or by telephone, you can call our feedback line at 720-712-8856. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Joe. And tune in next week.